The charmed ones are still in hiding, and the demon Hass suspects that they are alive. He and another demon, Blackheart, reside in Magic School, which now has been taken over by Hass and the demons, claiming their territory, providing that no good is present in the school. Hass throws a few energy balls, destroying the property.
Welcome back to another episode of Brunch with the Hollowells. I am Rob, and I am here with Ryan.
Hello, Charmies.
We are two Charmed fans who decided to recap the original Charmed series, and we are on the final season of Charmed. How are you doing?
I'm doing so good, Rob, because Charmed has been in the news again recently.
Are we saying we have witchy news?
I think there might be some witchy news here today. Okay, so Charmies and Rob. And Rob knows about this because we've talked about it off camera, but there is an upcoming illustrated storybook of Charmed. And guess what, guys? It's number one on Amazon's kids / siblings books. And it's still number one because I checked today. So it's been a solid like week and a half of this being number one.
So it's out now?
No, pre-orders up.
Oh, pre-orders.
It's coming out 9th of September. And it's taking place in the 80s when the Charmed ones are younger. So, I mean, they're cashing in on that 80s nostalgia, but because the way they even word it, it's like, let's go back in time when things were cool and hip in the 80s kind of thing like that. But whatever the case is, we love the 80s and we're here for that. But I just love that. And if this will be the original set of girls at the, you know, Paige, Prue, Piper, and Phoebe. My God, Paige. Now, every minute.
What is this called again?
Rob, it is called Charmed, the Illustrated Storybook, and it is coming out September 6th in hardcover edition for $18.95. I bet you that goes even cheaper before it comes out on Amazon. and Kindle as well. It will be available.
I definitely plan to get this. I don't know if I'm going to get the hard copy or Kindle yet, but I'm definitely going to purchase this. This should be fun. Well, no, that's great to hear that it's number one.
And Rob, this is my favorite thing. It's to next generation fans. Parents, grandparents, cool aunts, and uncles can introduce young readers to Charmed. I love that. And I'm sure a lot of our Charmies that are parents or aunts and uncles would love this. I'm so excited. So that's witchy news, everybody. A return to witchy news.
Okay, so what did you think of Malice in Wonderland?
So much better than our premiere episode for me. And it's not that it was great, but it felt more charmed to me.
Okay. I honestly did not like it as much than the premiere.
You want that Sex in the City going on?
Oh my God. Okay. But anyway, yeah, I found the premiere to be a little bit more entertaining. What I think was good about this episode, though, is that we got more Billy. We got more of her humor and personality. And there was a lot more of involvement and not this running around of like, who is she? We know who she is. So hurry up. So we don't have to constantly just watch these two like always miss each other. Like, get on with it. But we got more Billy, and I think that was good for this episode. But we will get into that. Let's start with our list. Was there a moment in the episode that stood out to you than the rest?
Okay, Rob and Charmies. There was kind of, in one of our episodes earlier, there was a Charmy that gave me a slight little challenge to do this season.
Yes.
And it was to not have Paige be MVP for more than, now, they have originally said 7, right? I think Rob gave me 12 if I chose to do it. Well, I'm taking the challenge.
Okay. And here's the thing. If she is MVP to you, that's just how it is. But if you're biased and it's because she's your favorite, then think outside. Like,
Of course. But okay, here goes. Strike one.
Okay, fair.
But honestly, it's because out of all of the sisters, again, this call is the strongest for her to help people, that she was even willing to become a cop possibly in this episode. So it just shows again, I mean, that her heart is right to help people. It goes right to that every time. So, okay, one down.
Okay, so you just gave me your MVP. Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What about
the? Sorry. Page. No. Okay. Sorry. My play of the week is this crazy crystal scrying, because I want to know how the hell this young lady came up with this crystal scrying. So it's a play of the week for me, because I'm still baffled after all these years later.
No, I think that's cool. I almost picked the crystal scrying mouse as well.
Ooh.
But I didn't pick that. You know what I really thought was cool? And I've been contemplating back and forth when I was watching the episode, was how Dex inserted himself on getting Jenny the job at the paper. I think it's good that he thought about her and was looking out for her and like, hey, here's a job. But I don't know if there was ever a moment where she was like, oh, I'm, you know, unemployed and I need a job, or, oh, I wish I could work here. Like, there was never really an indication that she needed help. And he
this
took
was her
it
time to escape Rob from the paper. Never have to go back again.
Well, he took it upon himself to be like, oh, I'm just going to put in a good word for you. And she appreciated the gesture. This is obviously two types of people, right? But I actually thought that sort of gesture was actually really sweet. And the fact that the plan worked and she's back at the paper again. And so, well, we'll get into that. But I don't know. I thought it was a nice thing for him to do. And it definitely shows his personality that he really is a romantic sort of guy. And he enjoys, you know, kind of like doing those things for others. And I don't know if he expects anything in return. It's just, again, it was a little off, but I'm going to give that the play for me.
That's very sweet of you, because I have a lot of words that I want to talk about him later.
Okay. As far as my MVP, you're sampling the best. I am giving it to Billy, because, again, it was nice to be able to see more of her personality, the way that she just kind of glows up when she's even talking about magic. And what she knows, and also just immediately just like, I want to know what you know. And she came up with a good plan for the sisters to kind of still do their normal lives. So I enjoyed Billy this episode and enjoyed most of her scenes that she was in, except for one. Oh, my God. But we will get into all of that.
I wonder if same scene.
But first, did you manage to add anyone to your hot man meter?
It's raining men. Yes, actually, Rob, I did. He might go off very quickly, but yes, as of now, yes.
I also added someone as well. All right, well, back from commercial break, let's get to our episode.
Yes.
This is Malice in Wonderland, episode 2 of season 8. The original air date was October 2nd, 2005, written by Brad Kern and directed by Mel Damsky. Guest stars include Noah Tishby as Blackheart. We have Beatrice Rosen as Jenny Bennett, with Michael Shannon Jenkins back as Paul Haas. Ted Sutton as the recruitment officer, with Michael McLafferty as our training instructor. Crystal Kwan as Officer Marin. Michael Dempsey as Bud, our electrician. And back once again, Jason Lewis as Dex Lawson, with extra special guest announcement, Michael Trevino as Alistair. Why did I single him out? You will find out when his scene comes up.
Haas and Blackheart are luring teenagers into an Alice in Wonderland world, which is hysterical, and try to lure the sisters out. Rob, is Haas either the most intelligent demon in the world, or is he really just grasping at anything was a clue that the sisters were alive to him? I'm like, you know what? You were the best demon there was. Or, I mean, he was like, there's a white lighter. I'm like, I get it, Haas, but, you know, every witch, I think, is supposed to get one eventually. So I was like, okay. But I thought that was so funny.
I think he's just good at analyzing. I mean, he's just looking every step of the way, any possible scenario or outcome, and he's always going to suspect them to be alive until he sees a body. So
I mean, good for him, but man, he was on it. The missing teenagers are later found blankly babbling lines related to the fairy tale, which, according to several scenes, has been reported on the news. Billy, we finally get to see Billy and get her name, gets word of the disappearances and prepares to go after the demons. So, there's a lot, Rob. We didn't have this in the description, but there is a bathroom scene in the beginning where the ladies and Leo are all looking at themselves in the mirror. Now, I love a sisterly bathroom moment, but this clearly is for people to remind you that they have new identities.
So, yes, I mean, this scene is so obvious. And, you know, kudos to you for your technical achievement. But they clearly have another bathroom. And, I mean, if anything, they gathered in there to just have a chat. But there's a bathroom downstairs. I want to say they were in the upstairs bathroom. The bigger bathroom, I guess. But it was cute to have them all there. But, yes, it was, I mean, Leo, how can you... How much do you really need to check yourself out? And most of your body was covered by the sisters because you're now shorter than Piper in this new illusion. So I don't know exactly what you were checking out the whole time, but yes, they were gathered around that mirror for a very long time.
And I'm like, okay, we get it. This is for anyone who missed the premiere. they could see themselves as different people. So I thought Leo, again, looks fabulous this season. He seems like he lost weight. Not that that's anything, but I just think from last season, he looks sharper or something. Okay, so I love that the demons have taken over magic school. So, and I wrote, please break all those unneeded sets. We don't ever want to see magic school again. Destroy, destroy, destroy. We're not getting picked up next season. Bye, take it all over.
I'm actually surprised that the magic school was taken over so easily. I mean, the elders really were just washing their hands of this.
Ms. Donovan, she couldn't do it.
I just thought that was crazy. I mean, I get that they're gone. Leo can't watch the school anymore. But, I mean, could they really have not done anything?
I know. One of those elders couldn't have come down to be a substitute, right? I mean, clearly, they must have known more than Paige did when she took over in her brief run as mistress. Headmistress.
What about the children? What about the children?
Oh, so sad, so sad.
So what do you think's happening with all of them then? They're just in hiding? Do they just not practice magic anymore? Like, what's happening with all the kids?
They're going through that mutant X-Men thing where they got to hide their powers. It's back to Max and his family, raised by his father, not knowing what to do because his mother was killed in season one. But I'm actually, I like this look for the set. I mean, not just because I dislike the whole magic school arc, but no, honestly, I like the idea that they were able to take over in the Charmed One's absence. Because, you know, when we think of the Charmed One's dying, I would hope something big would happen, you know?
Well, I also thought that magic school was hidden from demons. So was there a magical like cloak that just got erased because the Charmed Ones died? It's just funny that they were even able to find the location.
Hell, they did the Billy investigation where you just get random clippings. Because at one point we see that in her dorm room, which my investigative reporting, I was on it today. I must have had a lot of good caffeine. I went back to Little Box of Horrors, and it is not the same dorm room as Hope. I thought for sure it was. I'm actually surprised. I swear to God, but I do think that, I think I said this last season, Hope's friend has the same outfit that Billy has on next week. Like the same like top. Anyway, so what do you think about this whole thing with Billy? Because we see in this scene that she has had clippings. Like she's acting with her girlfriend that, you know, it's just kids on drugs. It's nothing to worry about. But we see that really she has a witchcraft book next to her athame, and she's got news clippings of the students disappearing. But again, and it's never explained, I don't think, where did she come up with all this? It's like one day she just said, I'm going to be a witch.
Well, she apparently just bought books and read up on it and taught herself. That's it. Yeah. She went to that same store in the craft and went through all the trials and forbidden to go back in the curtain room. And she used her 5-finger discount and learned witchcraft.
Amen. All right. But where'd she get that damn scrying crystal? I am still shocked over this.
They sell crystals everywhere. They're in San Francisco.
But it's on a mouse? I know, even back in the day, I'm like, on a mouse? And Paige does say in this, because we do get, Phoebe playing Carrie Bradshaw from Sex and the City. So we get Paige saying, don't ask. They're on Sex and the City again. Paige, you or me? Never got into the Sex and the City craze. I understand it is a huge cultural thing. Guy loves it. Every person I knew in school loved it. And my gay best friend growing up, every woman I've met, but I never got into it. So I love that Paige was like, and I've seen the episodes. I've seen the movies. I've seen this new incarnation. I love that Paige said that, honestly, because that she's standing for me. I bet you they're always talking about Sex and the City now that they got to catch up, and Paige is just like, ugh.
So I was a late bloomer with Sex and the City. It's not a show that I don't think that I would return to watch again, but I am very glad that I watched the whole thing. And I watched the first movie first before watching the series. I watched the series because they got a sequel. So I went out of order. I also did watch the new series. And it looks like they may be coming back with another one.
Did they get picked up?
I don't have very confirmation, but I don't see why it wouldn't, to be honest. So my thing is, with this, is that, oh my, it's just the Carrie voice, how her voice goes higher when she tries to imitate her. It's like, I get the concept, cringe. And I'm sure that when I first saw it, I thought it was pretty cute. She's holding a Sex and the City DVD.
DVD, Rob. Right. She got that at the laundromat.
She rented that at Blockbuster. That's where she got it from. But apparently when this episode aired, it must have been on its third season at the time, because that's the DVD that she was holding. It said third season. And it's also wonderful that Dex is also a recurring character on the show as well. So it's all sort of tied together.
But I thought, isn't that cheesy, though, because he was on, they did that?
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that was so, like, I thought that made me cringe. I'm like, okay, this is so over the top for Charmed.
I mean, look at the demographic of the audience. I'm sure that a lot of people got a kick out of this.
Oh, definitely.
But here's the thing. They could have gone further, because the girls could have had lunch together and talked about, like, whatever.
Yes.
And they could have done the whole shopping thing. Like, they really could have been into it, but it was just for Phoebe, apparently, talking about signs. And so that's, to me, I just think they should have dug deeper, but I didn't like the way she changed her voice. Like, be you. We get the concept. You're imitating Sex and the City. You didn't need to sound like her. That I don't know. I just didn't really like that. It just seemed a little forced. With Dex and Phoebe meeting in the elevator too, just the way she's kind of forcing this future in this sign, do you think she's playing with fire right now? Or do you think this is what she needs to do in order to make her premonition come true?
I'm not sure with this, just because Phoebe is coming off like she probably came off at the paper all the time when these weird things happened with her. She can't play it off well. You know, she's so awkward when she has to lie about things.
So you are saying that you would never sort of like accidentally walk in the same aisle as someone to catch their attention, or stall to make sure they catch up with you to get their attention? Like, you wouldn't purposely do something to make sure you were...
Oh yeah. I mean, yes, but she doesn't know how to play it when she does, because she, when she opens her mouth, she just spews, "I'm someone who doesn't know who I am." It's so weird. And you're in love. You clearly had a thing for my cousin, but you're attracted to me because she is my cousin, but I remind you, I don't know. It's really weird.
Paige gets pulled. Okay. Here she is. Another witch has been spotted. All right. Who is it going to be? You ready for this? You are so going to get this, so I'm not
worried. I hope so. I really hope so.
You will. I'm not even worried. Okay.
Okay.
We finally got Dad in a good mood. And Mom, she's still sexed up from that fireman. This is the perfect time to hit them with the whammy.
This is Chris Perry Hollowell.
It is Chris Hollowell. Yes, he's outed at this time. So yes, he can go by Hollowell now. Correct, Chris Hollowell.
Whew.
Aw. We'll miss you, Chris. Miss you, Drew Fuller.
Mr. Top 10 of last season. So, amen. It's raining Chris today.
That's right. All right, well, with Chris being one of the memorable witches from Charmed, again, when it is my turn to pick a witch quote, you'll most likely hear a witch from the past of Charmed. So, yay. I knew you'd get it. I knew you would get it. I was worried.
I am not going to lie. I was worried.
Paige gets pulled over for running a stop sign. The policewoman gets word of one of the missing teenagers found, and Paige is spared getting a ticket. After a brief conversation with the policewoman, she decides she wants to become a cop herself. What do you think about this revelation of her wanting to be a cop? Is this the right direction that she should be doing at this point? I think it makes sense for her to have the idea to be a cop.
I do too.
Do you think this was the right path for her?
I don't. Maybe not necessarily a cop. I would have thought maybe she should have returned to social work, maybe. But honestly, it does make sense to me. So I totally, and it played into why she's my MVP, that she still cares.
This cop, though, I love how she's just telling all the business to Paige. Oh, what's this? Oh, it means somebody was blah, blah, blah. And I was like, it is none of her damn business. She should drive before this cop changes her mind and gives her a ticket. Cops do not do that. I'm going to tell you this right now. The less is more. Less is more. I just found this conversation hilarious.
That's true. That is hysterical, because I thought the same thing. But she was I liked this cop. She was very, I don't know. The actress was really... I don't know. Very friendly.
I got really nice casual vibes from her too. But
casual,
reminded me so much of Police Academy. I just expected the theme song to come on the minute she looked at her bad.
I would have loved it. I would have loved it. Now that's a parody.
Yeah. Blackheart lures a young man, Alistair, into an alley. He steps near a hole and is drawn into it. he finds himself trapped in a dark tunnel and surrounded by Blackheart and Hawes. Billy arrives, but the demon has gotten away. Okay, so we're introduced to Alistair, who is Michael Trevino, who is on my hot man meter. This man is so fine. He looks better now, obviously, but even back then, he had the cute baby face, and I didn't mind it. This is one of his first televised roles.
He looked like it.
Yeah, before going on to Vampire Diaries, which is what he's mostly known for.
So this is more for what's your whole, like, him and your whole entire mind altogether.
No, he's cute. It's the face. Like, he's going on there because he's hot to me. I don't know if he'll stay on there, but for this episode, even without the muscles, I thought he looked great.
I honestly, he was possibly going on the list, but I ended up not. There's another person, though, that...
Oh, I know who you put on there. So, aren't you glad that your name doesn't sound like Alice?
You know what? That is... This whole thing is so cheesy that they're tempted with this.
Will the story not work if they go down there and they have, like...
No.
Gabriel as their name, or
Billy? You know, but what about Billy?
Yeah, so I, what was the point of only going after the A names or the Alice names? It was kind of funny.
That it was an unneeded, necessary detail, Rob, that they could have left out and no one in their right mind would have even thought of it, right?
So, Blackheart, though, what a very attractive woman. She is on the potential for the hottest female this season.
Yes.
And also, I actually enjoy the name Blackheart, too.
Honestly, I enjoyed Blackheart totally. Yeah. The name, like you said, and that white rabbit shirt, as cheesy as it is, you know, I'm a sucker for rabbits.
I was like, oh my god, we're going to the, like, out of the Matrix. Is that what this white rabbit is? Because if it's, nope. And then you'd be like, what? Alice in Wonderland? I thought this was, we are in 2022 now. Okay.
You didn't think you were going down to see Pennywise in the sewer? She's like, go down there. I'm like, that's a sewer grate. He can't even get that open. Go down there.
You were supposed to take me to the real world, White Rabbit. What is the hell with Alice in Wonderland?
Nope. So true, though.
I'm sorry. I saw your note. You said Georgie.
Oh, my God. There was a rat that ran past, and Billy was like, ooh, rat. So could that not have been a rat demon?
I just think it was a regular mouse. But, you know, she's from the, what was that, the 60s? Rats. I can't remember what decade they said that.
She's a mess, thing. Rob. That's in this outfit. She is a mess, a hot mess out in broad daylight with this cheap wig that looks so terrible later on. Phoebe goes to see Dex's art. Now, Rob, don't lie to me. Tell me this man doesn't have the craziest art you've ever seen, the most random art you've ever seen, including a triangular dinner bell looking thing. One of those ding 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 dings you see, like, them do on in, like, camps, I would hope. I want to be rang by a dinner bell on a farm. And a giant red stiletto or shoe. You know Phoebe's into this man because she said his work was amazing. Even back in the day, I laughed at this dude's art. And you know what? I'm sorry. I'm not trying to make fun of anyone's artistic views, but it was like they grabbed the most random props that they could find, including a mannequin, and was just like, you know what? He's going to be, this is him. This is Dex. This is his art.
So I was going to ask you if you appreciate art in some form and what kind. I guess this might not be your taste. I'm more of a sculpture person than a painting person. So I admire sculptures and statues more than paintings. His work, I mean, it's whatever. I'm not really good at sort of diving into art in a very, like, you know, connecting way. I would say the stuff that he had on there was pretty creative. I do like the fact that Dex is an artist and he's not just some hothead. You know, there's a little bit of depth into him, whether he's good at art or not. His apartment, though, did they ever mention what he actually does for a living? Because I know that that apartment is expensive as hell.
I didn't even think that was his apartment. I thought that was in the same building that the paper was in. Is that not? That's his apartment?
Oh, it could just be his studio. And it's funny you say that, too, because I was like, isn't that the same set as the Bay Mirror? And yeah. They just. But
that's
maybe
I hope.
It's just a different suite or whatever. I didn't really have too much of a heavy opinion about his art. It was just more of like, oh, he's an artist. I think that's cool.
Well, I just still get this weird thing with him, Rob, that he was Phoebe's biggest fan, but you know, and Phoebe's okay with it. It's so crazy because she's Phoebe, I guess, in her mind. But wow.
Well, one thing that I do know is that even the person who wrote the synopsis thinks that this storyline is crapola because they don't even write it in the synopsis. They completely wiped out all of the C plot of this episode because I guess the B plot is Paige wanting to be a cop. But they are not paying attention to Phoebe and Dex in this at all.
And the whole episode is based on her trying to parody Sex and the City. Paige goes to the police department, but the recruitment officer is skeptical, thinking Paige does not have the stamina to do the job. She flips him over, and now he's convinced. However, in her first day at the academy, she hears Billy's jingle and leaves. Billy is fighting with Blackheart, and Paige orbs in. Blackheart escapes, and Billy blames Paige. They fight, but are evenly matched. Paige knocks Billy's black wig off and Billy leaves. Paige then finds an innocent whom Blackheart has been after. I wasn't sure at first if she was an innocent because she came off very, something giving me weird vibes. But I guess she was disoriented. Hass suspects Paige is the one who chased Blackheart away because Billy's got a white lighter. The page flip, Rob, holy crap, Ola, the page flip. I'm so glad she could do that. I don't know where she picked it up, but when she does those match for match with Billy, I love it. I love that she flipped Billy I love that she flipped the cop, but then later on fought with Billy in the street similarly, and she was evenly matched with Billy. I love this. I love that she picked up this martial arts stuff.
Yeah, apparently she was training in the off seasons like the rest of the sisters did and suddenly just knew how to fight. But this was apparently the first time that we actually get to see her fight like this.
Damn.
So, you know, every time before she was just throwing shit at people. But now she can fight just as well, I guess. Or, I mean, I don't think as well as Phoebe, but she's up there now to where she can do hand to hand. So
she had to learn it in that season. Yeah, good for her, is right. I mean, maybe I always go back to season 5, the day the magic died in that restaurant when they had to take on all those demons. She learned it at the pizzeria. Okay, so Paige looks fantastic as a cop. A possible nomination for fashion. I thought for some reason Rose McGowan looked great in this uniform. I don't know. Paige pulled it off. I do love the training officer. Okay, so this damn Bennett, the way he said Bennett, he's going on the hot man meter. So this is recruitment, no, not recruitment.
Training
officer.
Training instructor.
Training instructor. He's got a name like that.
Now, do you know why that he is on your hot man meter and that you sort of taken a likeness to him?
I don't think I do off the top of my head.
This gentleman has been on Charmed before, playing a different character. This is Alan Stanton, who was on the Hot Man Meter back in season 2. She's a man, baby, a man. Prue was going out with this guy, and he was getting mixed signals, and then Manny had a conversation with him
at
P3. They used the same actor and changed the character. Either that or he became a cop between season 2 and season 8.
What, you know what? That is amazing. And yes,
I cannot believe I thought you recognized him.
I mean, I recognized him from this episode, but wow, no. But wow, yes, going back, love that, because I love that whole episode. But yes, let's say, Rob, that is him. Manny gave him a schooling, and all these years later, Paige got to make out with him. It's like full circle. He didn't get one sister. he got Paige later. Billy, with these flips, kills me, because she dodges flips. And it looks like it took longer for her to do all these doodads flipping around than it would have been just for her to get the hell out of the way. And her name is Billy. It ain't Buffy. She's just trying to not only flip like her, but do these one-liners. It don't work. I mean, I like Billy more as herself than this whole whatever the hell this shit is.
Okay, that's fair.
And that's all I got, because Paige slapped that wig right off and I loved it.
So Paige is a cop. Now, she was in training. She obviously was putting her two cents in. And the guy was just so intuitive into her and being like, are you okay? It's like, no, training does not work like that. If you're not enough to stand in line, then go home. But it was just funny how he immediately was into her. And I'm like, how many women cops do you come on to under your watch? Like, you're a training instructor. True. Like, what the hell? And then let's even go back even further. The guy who she had to convince was woman/man enough to even be a recruit, the way that he talked down to her and almost like grabbed her to kick her out. I'm like, do you take this bias on the streets with you? Is this what happens when you like pull over a woman and you're just like, no, we don't have time for, but like, he was an asshole.
It looked like it turned though. Like at first it looked like he was just going to be skeptical because she was doing this whole like, oh, it's for my friend thing.
But he got pissed off.
All of a sudden he got nasty. He got really like, yeah, I didn't think it was going that way. And all of a sudden he was like, bleh, bleh, like he spilled all this shit.
Crazy. Well, Mr. Michael Lafferty definitely made it onto my hot man meter again, because I always thought Alan Stanton was so, so super cute and sweet. So, yes. But
now he's graduated up.
But the fact that Paige easily like says, OK, I'm out. I got a call. I got to go. Like, this ain't the job to be doing that. Like, you can go and escape your temp jobs all you want, but if you're really going to be a cop, you can't just be like, oop, gotta go. So one scene that was not talked about in the synopsis, but I think is hilarious, is Piper trying to get her electricity up to code at P3 with Bud, the electric. Now, Bud, talk about customer service. This woman decides to use him as a punching bag and just yelling and ranting and just going over all of her issues at home. And all he did was just sit there and stare her dead in the face and didn't say a word. That's what you're supposed to do. You let them talk it all out and be like, are you done? And then move on. Like, he could have easily like gave his two cents or been like, I don't care. He just was like, and like,
he's just like, nope, this is not my problem.
Damn, he should have been my MVP. He just handled this so well. So the way that he just handles Piper's tantrums, I just thought was great. I also went off once that I went off on a customer service rep once.
Ooh.
And it was for DoorDash. It was my very first DoorDash I ever did. I didn't get it. I didn't understand the whole thing, and I just didn't trust it. And I didn't end up getting my food. And at the end of the day, it was my fault. But when I got on the phone to find out why my driver wasn't waiting there for me when I got downstairs, like, he explained everything to me, but I was going off. But he could have easily retaliated and yelled back and all of this stuff, but he continued to call me sir and just explain and just stand his ground, like, I did my job and you weren't here and yada yada yada.
Oh, so shit.
that's kind of one thing that happened to me, but I was just like, bud, I gotta give it to you. You handled this situation really, really well. Paige scries using Billy's wig. She orbs to Billy's room and talks to her. Paige wants to know what Billy knows about the disappearances. Billy says that she is self-taught and tells Paige about the Alice-like names and about how she scries for demons using a GPS unit and a computer. Can you, like, if you had an Alice-like name, I would be terrified.
If that's Alice.
Like, I would be so terrified that they would be coming for me next. I would not leave my home at all.
Alistair.
I would not leave my, like, yeah. Billy enters the tunnel, but Haas and Blackheart catch her and send her into Alice in Wonderland world. Oh my God. Okay, wait, before I get into that, I just want to talk about Billy in her room and just more of this, like, update as to who she is and stuff. The Gen Z of it all, of her scrying with this crystal and using technology, I think is brilliant. I think it's brilliant. I'm surprised that it worked, but I think it is brilliant to adapt it that way.
And the graphics from the early 2000s that had the square box of a silhouette with a question mark, and it literally said, scrying, 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 scrying. Like, this is hysterical that she even put scrying on her thing. Wow.
Comparing notes back at the manor about, you know, Piper, she decides that this could be a trap and that Billy is working with the demons.
Yeah.
I thought this was interesting to bring up, and I'm glad that it was. I think that going into this, just solely trusting on Billy and knowing that she's just on our side, is very presumptuous, and I'm glad that somebody had to say it. So I was pretty happy about that. The other thing was, is that Piper is really, really pissed that she can't have a normal day. Her spa day got interrupted. Leo's being locked out of the house. And, you know, she's cowering in her bed. And, you know, Leo trying to, like, cheer up. And she said something to the lines of, like, you know, oh my God, you're in the, like, I'm not in the mood for that, or it's too early or something. And then he says, come on, like, that's what I wanted. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, what kind of line is that? Like, it's
but I like the way he said it.
The way he said it, though, it just sounded like, come on. Now, you know I don't want no sex from you.
No, I thought it was like, I took it like, no, but like he would be that strong if he had to. No, I loved it. I was like, I like that he didn't want this. You know, he was just like, come on. Like, that's what I want to be with you under this blanket just to hug you.
Okay. Well,
that's why he's number one. That's why he's number one.
I just thought it was really cute watching her pout, though, how she couldn't have her normal day. I just thought that was funny. So Billy enters the tunnel, but Haas and Blackheart catch her and send her into the Alice in Wonderland world. She hears voices and sees bizarre and frightening images all around her. She finds herself in a courtroom, and Haas and Blackheart menace her. But then Blackheart catches fire and explodes.
God.
Haas now knows the Charmed Ones are alive, but the sisters throw 3 potions and vanquish him. So here, okay, first, just we finally get to the whole point of this episode that's also tied into the title. We get this one sequence of the Alice in Wonderland thing and what's making them go crazy. First of all, they can say over the news that these kids were going crazy, but we didn't get to see anyone like jibber jabbering and going nuts over this world. We didn't
just
get to
see that girl on the street and that Paige picked up. Yeah.
We didn't get to see any of that. So it just, like, it was such a missed opportunity. Like you said, Ryan, going back to our heyday of earlier, like, there were victims. We saw the evidence and the outcome of how these people were affected by magic. And we didn't get any of that. And then this one sequence with Billy, like, running in place with all of these things happening around her. It looked like a choreographed musical to me. The way that she was just like, oh. And like, oh, just like Phantom of the Opera type stuff. It was so funny. It was so funny. But here's the thing. I'm not hating on it. I just wish we got more of it. There was just this one little thing about Alice in Wonderland. And I was just like, what is going on?
And that was what, the last 5 minutes of the show?
Yeah.
It was no reason for this whole thing.
I was telling you, I was like, I watched a little bit of the episode and I was like, I haven't finished it yet. I'm going to try and finish it on my lunch break. And then I turn it on. They do the Alice in Wonderland scene and then it's over. And I'm like, oh, it looks like I only had 5 minutes left. But in my mind, I'm like, oh, there's so much left because we still have yet to see this Alice world. And I was just like, what the hell is this? I just wanted more of it. Put it that way.
They could have cut out that whole, and I'm sure it must have cost a lot of money for that CGI card effect at the time. That could have been a Daryl paycheck.
Now, you know, taking all of that aside, right? What did you think about that sequence, though? Just the idea of it making them crazy, the things that Billy had to kind of go through, the trial and everything. Like, what do you think about the idea of that?
I'm with them up into the fact that they literally had to act out the Alice in Wonderland thing in the sewer for these people. I get the whole white rabbit luring these kids down a rabbit hole, but when they threw this in, I'm like, really, demons? Did you have to do this? Who is this for? You, evidently, because I don't know. I don't know. I thought that was a bit extra, because to me it could have been like they could just do the spell 1, 2, 3, blah blah blah. It was over too much. It was so just to get the title in again.
Also, it took 3 potion bottles to kill Paul like, ooh, do you think he was that strong, or what do you think the point was for 3 vials to be thrown at him?
I would have liked the idea that it was the 3 because he was so strong. It could have been that. It also could have been 2 other things. 1, they wanted to make sure that whatever kind of demon he was, now that they're revealing themselves, they literally were like, oh, here we are. So they're trying to really make sure he dies 3 different ways. Or it was just a metaphor that, oh, we're all back in the game. And all 3 are going to throw a potion. But you're right. There was no need usually for more than 1, so...
It just makes me curious. No shenanigans at all. I'm just like, wow, 3 potions to take him out. That's pretty, like, heavy.
I do like that he was here for 2 episodes. I actually would have liked if they continued it more.
He easily could have just been this overbearing, like, just a thorn in their ass, constantly trying to expose them. I liked Paul Haas. I liked him.
I agree. So, Billy joins forces with the Charmed Ones, offering to fight some of the demons in return for training. Paige has changed her mind about being a cop, but has connected with a cop she met in the academy and will never see him again. The newspaper hires Julie Bennett to replace Phoebe, not knowing that she is in fact Phoebe. Phoebe's latest beau, Dex Lawson, had suggested it. Oh, so they're officially beaus. That's her beau. So Billy says that she read about the Charmed Ones, Rob. Where online? I guess in those magic books.
Yeah, someone, I was going to say the books that she got.
Billy is a smart character in the sense that she put all this together. I'm reading it as, let's hurry up and get her and this storyline going. But she's so brilliant, Rob. She's so brilliant. She knows everything by herself. Not even a sibling, not even a sister. Like, they had to learn. Nope. Not even a book of shadows.
She is a smart cookie, that one.
I honestly liked the way it ended, that Leo and Piper were such a married couple that Piper's putting on cream on her face. And
that
then Leo
was
comes
so
behind
sweet.
Her and kisses her.
I don't think I've ever seen Leo smile that big.
I loved it.
In a long time. Like, that was an adorable scene.
I guess it shows the love. It shows that they're just enjoying the little things in life, that this is actually what they wanted. So that was really beautiful. And another, Paige had another nomination for me almost for fashion, because she's at the end kissing this training officer in this orange looking outfit dress. And I thought she looked beautiful. But we'll find out who, I guess, really did win the end of the day.
So, yeah, as I was saying earlier, you know, first Prue got Alan and now Paige gets him also. Like, it is just more of Prue and Paige that we just didn't know about. They didn't waste any time at this paper replacing Phoebe.
No.
I mean, do you think it was just too soon to just rehire somebody for the column? Or is that business? No matter how famous she was, they have to move on and get somebody into that column spot.
I think it's very strange in one way. But at the same time, I think it's smart in a business sense that Elise can say, we're honoring Phoebe by hiring her cousin who loves her and admired her and somehow wrote like her. So
what do you think about training Billy and having her fight demons while the charmed ones continue to have normal lives? Now, the way that I look at it is that you could walk away from all of this. Like, how could you? To be honest, of 7 years of fighting demons, like they keep telling themselves, oh, we're fighting demons again. And we keep going into the, right. You know, but how do you stop? Like, it's not like, oh, the charmed ones are dead. Demons are just going to stop attacking the world. Like, when do you decide you can walk away from possibly saving someone's life? And just this idea of them just officially moving and then putting Billy front and center into danger, like, do you, like, with training, I think she would do wonders, of course, but it's just let me put this one girl where usually on a weekly basis, it takes three of us to take down demons, but we're just going to have this one girl fight them off. Like, what do you think about them agreeing to just help Billy like this and incorporating her more into this dangerous job?
The first thing you mentioned was Piper. We really didn't touch on it, but the fact that, like, how can they step away from this? And I think the fact that Piper, when she went to go get her nails, overhearing about the boys, I think that is 100% fate saying that you can't run away from this, Piper, because the elders don't even know that you're alive, supposedly, even now they're doing magic and scrying and doing everything in that house again. You don't think that someone would be checking in every day to see if the kids have been kidnapped, so they have to worry about the future of magic in a way, like, you know, how they spy. So I think it's very shenanigans on that part. But they're not putting this in front of them. So Piper is still getting thrown into magic. Paige is still getting thrown into magic. Clearly, this is their destiny, and they have to do. They were made for this, unfortunately. With the Billy thing, I think you might have a good argument for why things might happen the way they happen later on in the season. I think that might be thrown in at some point. So stay tuned.
It kind of gives off this vibe of, like, you know, those parents who are like, oh, I have a kid who likes to smoke weed and, like, have
oh my
sex
God, yeah.
and all that. And then they're just like, well, if you're going to do it, you might as well do
it
at home. Do it, you know, under my roof so I can see you. So we're clearly not going to be able to stop Billy from fighting demons. So you might as well just do it where I can watch you. Is that still good? I mean, they're not her parent, but is that still good mentoring? Or, you know, is Billy really, from what you've witnessed in the last two episodes, is Billy meant to be doing this? Or should she have a normal life that these sisters didn't get?
Rob, I think clearly she is the most powerful witch there ever was, because she's taught herself in, I don't know, since the summer, possibly this semester started of college. I think that she's definitely very capable, but yeah, like you said, you summed it up perfectly. We're supposed to believe that these women, it takes three of them plus friends, plus Daryl, plus Leo and the magical community. And she's just going to do this all on her own. I mean, I guess she has the benefit of they don't know who I am yet because I'm La Femme Lakita.
And Paige was just like, I'm not helping you until you take that ugly ass outfit off and ditch the wig. Like, we're over it. You will not be hanging out with us in that outfit.
Scrying with the wig. I didn't mention it earlier, but when she had that raggedy ass wig on the table, scrying with it, I laughed so freaking hard. Yeah, so we'll see, but damn.
All right, well, that concludes Malice in Wonderland, Season 8, Episode 2. Now, let's talk about Paul Haas and Blackheart. Where on the high stakes meter did you happen to put them?
Blackheart, while I enjoyed her for her whole look and style and name, that cheesy ass, this plot line of her gonna be put her face on some cards and doing this whole Alice in Wonderland that you had to get the names. This whole thing, Rob, is going on the boring list to me for her.
Wow, it's the lowest denominator. Interesting. Okay.
But on the flip side, the fact that Haas. Is it Haas?
Say Haas, but it could go.
Is it Haas? Oh, I'm so confused. I want to keep saying Haas and Shaw.
It could be Haas. I just say Haas. Because like Lucas Haas. So that's why I just say
okay. That actually makes okay. That sounds better. The fact that he stuck around, took three potions, let's just give it to him. I'm gonna say he was middle basic. I think we might have gave them this last week, but I think he's basic. He's not boring, he's not annoying, he's basic. And the fact that he was on it, charmed one.
So for me, I'm doing this meter as a form of like the actual, well, I mean, yes, the villain for sure, but the actual idea that they've come up with, the execution of their idea, what they are doing with their victims, yada, yada. Like, was it high stakes to take them out? Was it high stakes to figure out their plan? Was it, you know, yeah. I found this week with the stakes to be annoying. It was just annoying.
Okay.
Yeah, just not boring, but annoying. Because there was a lot of potential and curiosity that I had with this episode and the stakes, but it was just annoying. It just was frustrating. Like, I could not get over the fact that we only got, like, 2 seconds of this thing and it had nothing to do with the episode.
That ate up the whole budget, I'm telling you. It's too funny.
All right, Ryan, take it away. Who's our best dressed this week?
Well, it ain't Paige. She had 2 nominations, but I'm giving it to Blackheart for her 80s style and her hair.
Okay. Awesome. I love that. Next week on Charmed, Run Piper Run. I know exactly what this episode is about. However, I don't know what happens in it. Any details, whatever. The only thing I know is that she gets arrested, Piper.
Yeah.
And I know why, which I think is a wonderful, wonderful plot device, because when they had to think of these women off the cuff, sometimes I think it's really hard to just literally create a face that's never been seen or done before. And so this plot makes so much sense. So it'll be fun to explore this for next week.
I agree. I remember this one as well.
All right. Well, before we close out, I told you that every 2 episodes we will be playing one of our Charmed themed games. And by popular demand from Ryan, he is nominated that we play Never Have I Ever once again as a form of redemption from the last time. Let's see if he can get it this time. Now, to give you guys just a little hint into what he and I are doing, basically, Ryan and I have chosen a character from the Charmed verse, and we will be playing Never Have I Ever as those characters. So if we say Never Have I Ever done this and the other person has, that is a clue as to who they are. We'll do our best to try and knock off at least 5 fingers. And by the end of the round, we'll take a final guess, and if we're wrong, they'll reveal who they are.
Ooh.
Ryan and I have chosen to step away from the sisters, but we are picking a character that is recurring in the series.
Yeah.
So it could even be seasonal, but they've been on the show at least more than once. So Ryan has this person. I have mine. Ryan, just to make sure and let everyone know that you got this time, why don't you go first?
Okay, everybody. Are you ready? I am going to start with my five fingers, putting them up here. And my first never have I ever is never have I ever met Melinda Warren.
Okay, I've never met Melinda Warren. Okay, that's a good one. Okay.
Okay.
Never have I ever used magic. Ah, finger went down. Okay, which could still be anybody, but.
Never have I ever been in every episode of Charmed. Meaning, I have not been in every episode of Charmed.
Okay.
I hope I said that right.
Yes, you did. And neither have I. Okay. Never have I ever lived in the Hollowell Manor. Oh, you've lived in the Hollowell Manor. Okay.
I don't know how long, though. But
I know. Okay. Okay.
Okay, Rob and Charmies. Never have I ever wanted to be away from my family. Very broad term, but...
I'll put a finger down.
Okay. Oh, shit. Still, I mean, this is... Rob's only got one finger down.
But you're saying that your character... Okay, you said you never wanted to be away from your family. Okay, got it. Okay. Never have I ever wrote an entry in the Book of Shadows. So you've written in the Book of Shadows as well. Okay, I have an idea of who you could be, but it's just so broad. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Never have I ever been the source.
Yeah, I've never been the source. I've never been the source.
Okay.
So you've never been the source. Okay. Never have I ever been divorced. So you've been divorced. Okay. Oh my God. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Never have I ever been trained in defense / martial arts.
I'll say that I haven't. I mean, okay. I can't prove that I have, but I'll say that I haven't. Now, you're using, you know, to make sure that you've never done it, but are you trying to, I mean, I hope your questions are helping you figure out who I am.
Yeah, kind of, because I'm thinking that okay. I thought you were somebody else, and now I'm not so sure.
Okay. Never have I ever been married more than once. All right. Ryan has put down five fingers, so I'm going to take a guess.
Yes.
I'm going to say that you are Grams.
No, I am not Grams.
You're not Grams. Okay. Here, why don't you do one more
okay.
for me, and then you can attempt to guess who I am.
So I can just ask anything, right? Because it doesn't have to mean anything anymore. Okay. Never have I ever been a cop.
I put a finger down.
So Rob's fingers have gone down. Okay. Okay. I know who this man is.
How do you know it's a man? How do you know it's a man? I could be a woman. You don't know.
This is Daryl.
It's Daryl. No, wait a minute. You've lived in the house. You've been divorced.
Yes.
And evidently. you've only married once.
I've never been married. Wait, did you say once?
No, I said I never have I ever been married more than once. I've only been married once. I've never been married more than that.
Oh, but I have, because Leo Wyatt was married to that other lady.
So you were Leo?
Oh my God.
You were going to reveal it anyway. But here's the thing. Why was I, when I picked Daryl, I was like, watch Ryan be Leo. I was like, he's going to be
Happy
Leo.
Happy Halloween. I almost picked Daryl. It was my first
that
person.
That is so
I'm
funny. I honestly was like, if we end up picking the two men.
I can't believe I just gave away the answer.
I know. That's funny.
Leo's been married twice.
So he used magic. He did write a entry in the book. Damn it. I totally forgot.
Retribution, please, God.
Very good. Well, yeah, mine was pretty easy once you got to it. Okay, good one. That's awesome. Yeah, you stumped me. could have been anybody. I guess I got to ask better questions.
No, I thought those were good questions.
All right. Well, that is going to do it for our show. If you guys ended up guessing who it was, name that point in the game where you figured out who it was. Let us know.
Ryan gave it away.
Yeah, let us know online and definitely come back next week for another episode of Brunch with the Hollowells. We hope you enjoyed this episode. And of course, tell a friend about our show. This is the last season. Let them know that this is one of, I think, any. I don't know if anybody's ever made it this far.
I don't think
on a podcast before. So you got to let everybody know who this is, what show this is. Leave a comment on Apple if you haven't yet in this whole 8 seasons. And definitely enjoy the day. And we'll see you next week.
See you next one, Charmies.
Bye.
Critics declare the new Charmed season is just as charming as ever. But one sister...
Put your hands on your head.
Piper got arrested for murder.
...is facing life behind bars.
What are you smiling at?
A very short life.
Whoa, let's just hang on a second.
Charmed on the WB's Big Sunday.